Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Dr. Diane Mueller is a naturopathic doctor. She is a board-certified sexologist. She is a best-selling author. Her newest book is Want to Want It. Welcome back to the show, Diane.
Thank you, George. Great to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you back on. Refresh our memory. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the new book.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, it's really interesting in doing so many of these shows and conversations on sex and on libido, because if you look at my history, like 15, 20 years ago, I would have just probably turned beet red and died about the idea of ever talking about sex on anything live, and especially not having my name on multiple books now. So it's been a very interesting journey that, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to from a standpoint of the idea of like the taboo of sex. So when I was about 19, 20 or that age range, I started having some chronic vulvar pain, and everything was fine as far as like doctors, all tests were normal, which was great, but it was like pain so much that was keeping me up at night. And that was really, it was like obviously very disconcerting, right? Because we all need sleep. So I was telling my roommate about this at the time, and my roommate handed me a book, and the book's by Betty Dodson. It's called Sex for One, and it's all about self-pleasure. And, you know, I was raised extremely Catholic, so the idea of this was very, very, very wrong. But one night out of desperation, I decided, you know, to self-pleasure, and George, my pain completely went away. So I was able to sleep, and this had been going on for weeks, and next day it comes back. Self-pleasure again, all of a sudden pain goes away. And so it really started like helping me ask different questions. You know, I really believe in the concept that I think a lot of people in the personal development world talk about, that life is really defined by the questions we ask ourselves. And so I started asking myself different questions, and, you know, questions such as, well, if this part of me is bad, how come it is healing me, for example. So I started then reconstructing my own personal beliefs about sex and about intimacy and what this meant. And, you know, 15 years later, 20 years later, I guess 25 years later, I'm a board certified sexologist, you know, two books around on the topic, and, you know, and speaking out on shows like yours, just to really help people understand that pleasure is not just about desire. That really is something that we require. And as we're studying health and we're studying longevity and all these great things to help us age well, that healthy sex and this part of a healthy relationship is something that unfortunately is still being left off of the table in the conversation in the medical field. And, you know, my work in this is really to help normalize this, really help take the taboo out of this, and really to help people and couples have a safe space to come and explore how to make their relationship better, how to make their relationship stronger, you know, how to fall deeper in love, and how to improve their intimate lives.
Well, I certainly appreciate all that. Was your pain, was it physical? Was it mental?
I think it was physical. You know, it's like now with two doctorate degrees, both in the medical field, you know, of course I've gone back through that as well as other things that have occurred in my health history to try to make sense of them. And the best I've been able to come up with is that I think perhaps I was suffering at the time from something called interstitial cystitis, which is like leaky gut of the bladder. It's where the bladder sends a signal to the brain that it's full and there's discomfort even when the bladder's not full. And that pain can radiate to the vulva. And that pain has a very neurological component. And we see that through orgasm, one of the things that can actually reset our components of our neurological system, especially when we get into the parasympathetic, that relaxed part of our nervous system, when that gets reset, there's a lot of things that can can repair neurologically. So I think, to my best guess, that that was actually a physical thing that was happening, and through the repatterning of my nervous system, that was able to heal. That's the best I've been able to come up with, you know, as I, you know, studied medicine for a very long time now.
Yeah, try to look backwards and connect the dots.
Totally.
So when people are not experiencing the sexual life that they want, is there a pie chart that helps to explain that? Is it stigma, conditioning, it's physical, mental, emotional, it's a little bit of everything?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it's really three pillars is how I look at it. You could put them into three pieces of a pie as well. I use the pillar, you know, analogy the most though. And so the three pillars are physical, personal, and interpersonal. So physical is like everything we think about the physical body. So that's circulation, that's hormones, that's neurological system, that's stress, thyroid, inflammation, all of these things, right, are under the physical things. The physical pillar is like, think of the physical pillar as anything you might see your doctor about, and you're going to run some lab tests. And if your doctor's running the right lab tests, which hopefully they are, then you're going to get information on how to fix those things, right? So that's pillar number one. My first book in my series is all about pillar number one. My second book, the one that has just come out, is all about pillar number two. It's the personal side of things. So this is how well you know your own body, like, and how well do you know your own body through the years? Because what we see, which is so interesting, is how much our pleasure body, which is basically our body's experience of pleasure, actually changes like throughout life. And we can get scar tissue over certain parts of our erotic tissue, for example, and all of a sudden that erotic tissue is no longer available to us to pleasure. And so our nervous system reroutes in other ways, and we get pleasure in this way, but not in that old way. So it's really about our knowing our own turn-ons, our turn-offs. It's about learning processes through which we can actually expand our orgasmic capacity. And that's a really interesting topic, you know, to just say something on that and keep it succinct here is like, orgasmic capacity is really interesting, because what we see with orgasm is the more we have better and better orgasms is actually directly related to wanting sex more and wanting intimacy more. So, you know, people that are trying to improve their libido and have a more like desired sense within their intimate relationships, one of the ways to do it within these pillars is actually to expand your orgasmic capacity, improve your orgasms, which there's different techniques for both women and men that are somewhat similar that really help to do that. So I talk about that in the book. So that's pillar two. And then pillar three, which is book three of the series coming in 2027. And pillar three is all the interpersonal side of things. So this is the way we relate to each other, right? Like, what are our ways of bringing novelty in? What are our ways of, you know, being married together for 20, 30, 40 years and still finding ways to keep things interesting? What are ways that we're actually learning to talk about our needs, wants, preferences, and desires, and how they change? And how are we relating, of course, emotionally? Like, are our conversations full of disdain? Are they full of conflict? Are they full of any sorts of thing that's like kind of shunning the other person or making the other person not feel well? Any of those types of things will, of course, bleed directly into the intimate life. So that's really all the interpersonal side of things.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
That makes sense. Thank you. I'm curious. I hear about how that the average man's testosterone is way lower today than like a 70-year-old man 20 years ago, or just something like that, where testosterone is very, very, very low. So I'm curious if that has an impact on a man's libido. I'm also curious about my perception is we're taking a lot more prescription drugs than we ever have. The impact that that's had.
Yeah, they're really important questions, and I'm going to broaden my answer to include women as well, because it's really interesting when we think about testosterone. is women have testosterone too. In fact, women have more testosterone in them than other sex hormones. Testosterone is still our dominant hormone. It's just so much dramatically lower than a man's, right? So we have a ton of testosterone in us as women as well. And so for women and men, testosterone is essential to a healthy libido and sex drive. Now, again, three pillars, and all each pillar, as you could tell, I gave high overview of all these sub, you know, categories. So we have, you know, we could say we have 40 or 50 different things that could be out of balance to contribute to a desired, you know, disorder. And testosterone is one of them. So it's very common that people will get put on testosterone replacement therapy and have this initial like 3 week kind of period where it's like, oh, my libido is coming back. I feel great. And then all of a sudden they call their doctor and it's like, well, it's not working anymore. And that does not mean they don't need the testosterone. It just means it's one of the many pieces of the pie. And it's very common when we address one of many pieces that you get a little boost. And then that boost kind of evens out. It's the brain kicking on to say, actually, there's more to the story here. But to comment on like what you said more specifically, we've seen about the past 45 years that testosterone's gone down about 40%. And so what that means is when we're looking at the reference ranges, right, the range when you get your testosterone measured and we have a certain range of what normal is. And a lot of like men will come in, for example, with a 450 or 500 level testosterone, total testosterone, and that is quote unquote normal. It's in the reference range and you're going to be told you're fine. But if you actually look at how much testosterone has fallen, both in men and women, then we really need to see that male testosterone in that 900, 1,000, and even sometimes like slightly above what is considered normal as far as a reference range for symptoms to actually go away. So as we've become sicker and sicker of a population, rather than saying, well, why is our testosterone, you know, changing? What's happening from a toxin, from other things perspective that's driving this down? We instead just change the normal so then more people fit into the category of normal. And then as far as drugs, like a lot of drugs and medications can cause problems. Some of the top, though, really are like the SSRI antidepressant. That category of drugs is particularly bad on the sex hormones, but there's definitely a lot of, you know, a lot of drug impacts and toxin impacts are also like real, you know, real big. Our whole category of mold toxins, of plastics, you know, microplastics have gotten to be more talked about in the press and media these days. They can have an impact on our hormonal system as well. So we really want to be looking at that total body burden, that level of toxic like residue that's built up in our system, because all of that can impact testosterone and circulation and neurological inflammation and so many other things.
Are most of these things able to be slowed or even fixed?
Yeah. I mean, that's the amazing thing, right? And so we, of course, can do things like testosterone replacement therapy, which is our TRT. And so that's not really like, say, slowing or fixing. There is something to be said where we do see that our body's DHEA output, it declines with age, and DHEA is the parent hormone to testosterone. So we make testosterone out of DHEA. We make DHEA out of cholesterol. This is one reason why cholesterol is not bad for you. You just want the right amount and you want to make sure your arteries are healthy. And so we do see this direct correlation with as we age, DHEA levels go down. As DHEA levels go down, we don't have the building block for testosterone. So testosterone also declines with age. We see that testicular function starts going down. We see that ovarian and adrenal function start going down. So all that being said is like there are times where there is an age-related time where like, yes, in my professional opinion, we do want to be working with a doctor who's well-trained and thinking about, you know, TRT, estrogen and progesterone replacement, especially for women, to keep those hormones balanced. Now, as far as other reasons besides age that might drive hormones down, like thyroid imbalance, cortisol imbalance, which is our stress hormone, you know, toxins like I've talked about, some infections I've seen drive hormones down. So we can always fix those kind of things. And same thing with circulation, right? So we see oftentimes that there is a real circulation problem that happens to the erectile tissue for both men and women. And it's talked about more with men because it's a little bit more like obvious, right? It's a little bit more easy to see an erection on a man versus an erection on a woman. And women get erections too. Blood still needs to go to the female erogenous tissue for it to get engorged. And that's what allows sex and intimacy to feel good. And so, you know, all these things like apply really for man as well as woman. And so as we get blood flow to these tissues, and if it, like that blood flow goes down, then we have to take a step back and say, well, what's the root cause of this? And so from, you know, to answer your question, it really just comes down to, can we figure out what the roots are? And so, you know, circulation sometimes is as simple as a nutrient deficiency. Sometimes somebody doesn't have enough potassium or magnesium and they get constriction of their blood vessels because of that and they're not getting the blood flow. Sometimes we don't have enough nitric oxide in our body, which allows those blood vessels to dilate. We can take supplements such as arginine and citrulline, which are just protein molecules for that, change our diet. Right. Sometimes it's so much stress. Sometimes we need to modulate and fix the thyroid. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, way more we could say from root cause probably than we have time to talk about in our show today. But, you know, to answer your question, it really is. It's like it's a lot about not just getting the diagnosis. Like one of the things I always say in my one-on-one practice is it is not just like the diagnosis is about the beginning point, not the end. And so many people, when they get that diagnosis of whatever it is, they think, finally, I know what's wrong with me, which, yes, when you're like struggling to know what's wrong and you have an answer, that's great. I get that. That's mentally relieving sometimes to be able to just name it. And the diagnosis is really oftentimes the beginning and not the end, or it should be, because once we have the diagnosis, you know, once we say in this example, there's a circulation problem, there's a hormone problem, there's a thyroid problem, then we need to take a step back and we need to be running tests for why, you know, and this is where we get into toxins and nutrients and parasites and small intestinal bacteria overgrowth and so many other things. But it's a long-winded way of saying, like, yes, we can fix these things, but we can't fix these things until we know what causes these things. And same thing for the interpersonal, right? It's like, okay, well, if there's disdain or contempt or just lack of interest or if somebody's desire has fallen, it's all fixable stuff, right? But we have to look within each of these pillars to say, what are the imbalances physically, personally, interpersonally, to begin to then, you know, work upstream and fix them.
Which certainly makes sense. So many factors that are probably hindering our ability to feel physically good and personally feel good about ourselves, but then that next piece to actually do it together with somebody else. And I have to imagine that the starting point has to be, are you interested in having a better sexual relationship with your partner?
Yeah, I mean, the titles of my books, of my series, is called Want to Want It. And it's called that for a reason, because a lot of times people will come to my work in the sex space and say that they don't even want it. Like, it's not even about wanting, it's about want, like they want to begin to want it, right? And so it's like, where do we start? And I think one of the fundamental things is like asking what your why is. And
looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
You know, this is where a lot of times, like especially with desire discrepancy, couples so frequently feel like they're on the opposite side of things, where it's like one partner maybe wants to have sex, say, multiple times a week, and another partner is like, well, you know, I could take it or leave it, and I'm good with like once a quarter, whatever it is. And so it can really lead to this feeling of like feeling at odds with each other. But what it actually oftentimes comes down to is asking about the why. And so when we ask, like, what sex provides, you know, for, you know, each other, like, usually the partner that wants it more is more easily able to answer this question. And usually they'll say things like, well, you know, I enjoy the pleasure. I love feeling close to you. It's like makes me feel connected to you. I feel more love. I feel more relaxed. It helps my stress. It helps take my mind off my day, like on and on and on and on, right? And so when we're looking and we're listening for this, oftentimes it's like, well, I want to feel more connected. I want to feel more love. I want to feel more relaxed. I want to feel like closer to you. I want to feel more, you know, less stress in my life, all of these things. So when we're actually listening for that list and that why, oftentimes it's a lot easier to realize that we want more similar things than we oftentimes realize when we think we're so different from a desire standpoint. And so a lot of times beginning to want it is actually, you know, starting with this, is actually starting with, well, why is this valuable to, why could this be valuable to my life and to my relationship? And, you know, and that's what I like, you know, women, for example, to know there's studies on oxytocin with orgasm about its strong capacity to build bone. Right. There's studies on it with balancing and supporting serotonin and dopamine and helping people feel happy and less depressed and less anxious. There's studies on it helping with sleep and sleep quality. And so, you know, a lot of these symptoms, you know, when women are listening, it's like, oh, well, these sound like kind of perimenopause, menopausal, like, you know, common symptoms, like, okay, mood changes, sleep changes, bone changes, right? You know, we throw in some hot flashes in there and it's like, and I haven't seen any studies specifically on hot flashes and sex, sadly, maybe they're out there. But largely we're looking at some of the top symptoms that come up during this age for women. So we're looking at that. Another thing that's come up in research is sex and being physically intimate in this way actually increases our capacity for, there's a term that I'm not remembering in this moment, but the term is, what it means is basically how we argue. It's like that threshold for when we kind of get like pissed off at our partner. So for example, like, okay, well, let's say like, oh gosh, I'm just getting angry about like partner said he's not going to, you know, he took out the trash and didn't, or they said they were going to do this and didn't, all these little things. Our capacity to tolerate those before actually getting real upset about them actually increases. And so couples fight less, they get along more, right? We see studies that have been done where they show that the happiest couples on average are sexually intimate once a week. So, you know, if people are determining like want it, it really initially comes from more of the mind in many ways than the body. We still want to do all these physical things, like, and that's why it's one of the pillars to get the body involved. But a lot of it is getting the mind involved, and that's starting to say, you know, take a step back and say, well, if I include it in my life and my life led to, and this helped me have a better relationship with my partner, more happiness, better sleep, better bones, less stress, like, would that be worth it to me to actually invest a little time every week into bringing this back? And that's more the angle I encourage people to take, because it's like, you know, it's like starting a gym workout for somebody that's not an athlete. It's like, well, it's not the gym that's probably going to get them going. It's like, well, I want to lose weight. I want to feel better in my body. I want to take care of this health problem, right? And we motivate ourselves by that. And the same thing is true for libido and intimacy. It's just something that's like, you know, like I said at the beginning of our time together, it's just not talked about.
It makes perfect sense that it's so much of frustration in life comes down to unmet expectations. And so why would this be any different? And we're constantly talking about your why and discovering that. So why wouldn't we be delving into that from a sexual perspective as well? So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of my work, when you really get down to the nitty gritty of it, it's like, it's pretty obvious stuff, right? It's just like, take what we know over here and just apply it to this area over here. So it does make sense. But for whatever reason, it's just been something that I think in the busyness of life, people just don't make priority for, you know, oftentimes, especially in long-term relationships, it just gets put on a shelf. But in my mind, there's an element around like, is this contributing to a relationship not being as healthy as you want? And we see, you know, long-term longitudinal studies like the one that Harvard just put out, where they looked over decades at all of these health conditions, diet, water, sleep, you know, all these different medical imbalances. And the number one thing that they said out of their long-term study that was the biggest predictor of health was loneliness, right? And so many people, their primary partner is their like their number one person they spend time with. And it's so common in our relationships that there's just like this element of closeness that has just got lost. So when we look at how important loneliness is, as well as I'm as busy as, you know, we're all really busy humans these days, right? And it's one of these things where it's like it's really hard to prioritize this person and to prioritize this thing. But what happens to anything in life when we don't make it a priority? And if this person is like such a big priority and like they're the top, you know, in your top few priority lists, like right at the top, and you're not putting time into them, you know, it's just, I think it's just like a simple math equation to think about what's going to happen in time. And while it's not easy to, I think, make time for this in a busy day, in a busy week, I do think the more we do, the benefits, just like saying we're going to get to the gym on a regular basis, the benefits are very, very clear in research about what comes on the other side. It's just committing to it and committing to your relationship like anything else that's valuable in your life.
Beautifully said. I also imagine that people struggle to have these kinds of conversations just because we don't have the language. We don't know how to sort of bring it up.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's another reason I have a lot of free material out there on how to do this. I have a great yes, no, maybe checklist. So a lot of my free stuff you can find at the URL havehotsex.com. But I created the yes, no, maybe checklist to start giving language to people. And it's yes, no on like interest in life. It's like things in the bedroom, yes, are on there, but it's also things that are outside the bedroom, like emotional things, mental things, you know, like, you know, just ways to start having the conversation again. And, you know, it's like, it's very interesting. And we look about how to have conversations around sex. It's another area where we take, hey, we learned X, Y, Z over here and we apply it over here, right? But it's some very basic things, right? Like we want to focus, for example, more on like the positive versus negative, right? If you look at like the research the Gottmans did on intimacy, and the Gottmans, for those of you guys don't know, they've been relationship coaches and have a school that has been around, I think, for close to 30 or 40 years now. And they have a ratio. I think it's 5-1, if I remember their ratio correctly. But don't quote me on that. But it's a specific ratio of how many good things you need to say for every quote-unquote complaint you have. And they're not talking about sex. But, you know, in my mind, when we're like bringing up anything intimately, like the biggest thing that people will tend to do is talk about like, oh, I want this to be different. You know, I didn't like, you know, that I didn't like, you know, we like, if that's all we hear, it's like, think about that. It can really shut people down. It can really make people think they're bad in bed, which really shuts things down. So part of like opening up these conversations is like really applying stuff like Gottman's over to the same, you know, same thing with sex, and say, we need to say a lot and like many, many, many more good things before we say anything that we want to be different. And a lot of how we start intimate conversations is just taking the Band-Aid off and start just saying the things that we like. And just starting there and just making it a safe place for people to actually feel like, wow, when we talk about this hard thing or we talk about this taboo thing, and I'm just simply like literally giving you my experience. That's the language. You know, we were in bed. You did this. I loved it. This was my experience. Like literally just sharing your experience in a positive way. And it can be that simple to start opening up the conversation of intimate life, because the more people hear good things, the more the nervous system goes into that scenario and says, oh, talking about intimacy is safe. Talking about this, and I leave and I feel like, wow, I'm doing great at this and I'm pleasing my partner and they're happy. And so as soon as we get that safety set, then we can sprinkle. Small amounts of things that we want to be different, but never in a blaming way, never in like, you know, anything that's going to make somebody feel bad. You know, I like language a lot. That's like, you know, I know my body's been changing and I listen to this podcast and I learn like, oh, my body, does change and my intimacy desires do change. And I'm just exploring this. And I think this thing that we used to do, I might want it to be a little different. right? So when we're framing it like that, it's not like the other person's doing anything wrong. It's I'm changing. Let's change together. And all it takes is some of those small little shifts to take away the blame and shame and really bring back, you know, that connection and curiosity.
Well, it's good to know that it's closer than we probably think. So
yes, 100%.
Well, Diane, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Where can they get their copy of Want to Want It?
Thank you. Yeah. So you can find all my freebies as well as some other promotional material with coupon codes. But I think I have 8 freebies plus other fun things on there that are for purchase on havehotsex.com. So that's where you can get a ton of free material. And then you can also go to wanttowantit.com or to any online distributor, and you will find Want to Want It Part 1 and Part 2 that go over the physical and the personal parts of this. And then, of course, look, you know, for Part 3 to be coming down the pipeline in 2027.
Well, to be continued.
That's right.
Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Dr. Diane your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to havehotsex.com. And pick up your copy of Want to Want It wherever you buy your books or wanttowantit.com. Thanks again, Diane.
Thanks, George. Thanks, everybody.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.